I'd like to read it before I get into the sermon today. And it starts in Amos, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. And it says, "Behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." This comes from the book of Amos. And the name Amos means to lift a burden, to carry a burden. Therefore, Amos the prophet was a burden bearer. Amen? And Amos lives up to the meaning of his name by bearing up to the meaning of what God has divinely given him to declare to the rebellious people of Israel. You see, Amos was a prophet during a prosperous time in Israel. Businesses were booming. Prophets were all over the place. Underneath all of that, there was greed and disruption going on. Amen? Sort of sounds like today, doesn't it? Businesses are booming. Profits are going up. But underneath all of that stuff that's going on, there's greed, there's dishonesty, there's a loss of integrity. Amen? Religious, hypocritical religious notions have replaced true worship in that day. Amen? And I say today that hypocritical religious notions have replaced true worship today. We are in false security. We have a false sense of security going on. We believe, and some people believe, oh, you come to church, you shout, you jump up and down, that you're all right with the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that don't mean that you're all right with the Lord. Amen. You go to some churches, and as long as you walk in the door and you sit down there for 5 minutes, by the time service is over, they're asking you if you want to be a member. God requires more from us than just joining a church for membership. Amen. So Amos, the farmer, turned prophet, he visualized the nearness of God's judgment, and he wanted to mobilize the nation into repentance. So he wrote this text that, "Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land." Amen? A lot of churches you go to, I like to look at the preachers on TV sometimes to see what's going on and to see what they're saying. And I don't hear too many people preaching the word of the Lord. I hear them talking about prosperity, and that's what people want to hear. Amen? I hear them talking about divine healing, and that's what people want to hear. But I got news for you this morning. The God sent down his son to save our souls. He didn't send them down here for prosperity. He didn't send them down here for divine healing. But I want you to know something. God can give us prosperity if he chooses to. God can do divine healing if he chooses to. But that is not his purpose. So if you're under the sound of my voice, I want you to be here for the right reason. I want you to be here for salvation. I want you to know that when your life ends, you know that you got a ticket somewhere else. I want you to know that there's a thing called eternity. And I want you to know that God gave up his son, his only son, so that we can have the right to eternal life. If he just wanted to give you money, he could give you money. If he just wanted you to be healthy, he could give you health. But that's not why he died on the cross. That's not why he shed his blood. Amen? So there are so many false prophets coming out there today. The doctrine is not sound doctrine. Amen? But sound doctrine is critical to salvation. Sound doctrine is critical to your growth and spiritual maturity. You want to know why people don't grow spiritually? It's because they're not getting sound doctrine. They're not getting the word of God. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear. Amen? Jeremiah put it this way. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying about you. They fill you with false hope. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. The prophet is warning of a famine, Amos, and it's not a famine for bread. He does not deny that there might be a famine for bodily, a bodily famine as well. But this famine in no way compares to the spiritual famine of the word of the Lord. And we know that a famine is very scary. If you think of the devastations that have just happened in Houston and across the islands, in Puerto Rico, people without food, without water, without electricity, without medical supplies. We look at that and we see that physical devastation. And we're so hurt that we give money, we send money away, we send medical supplies there. We do all of these things. Amen? But what about the spiritual famine that is going on in the world today? What about the spiritual famine that's happening right in our own families, right in our own communities, right in our own church? Amen? Somebody, right in our own church. We don't seem to be concerned about the spiritual famine. Amen? But when we look at what the prophet says, he says the mercy is in the announcements. Amen? Because he starts with, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That is one thing that God does. He warns us in advance. You see things happening right now. God is warning us in advance. Some people don't want to pay attention to it. They want to talk about global warming and all of these things. But God is warning us in advance. But our problem is that we don't want to heed to the warning. You ever see something right in front of your face and you don't believe it? Because you don't want to receive it. Come on, somebody. Have you ever seen something happening in front of your face and you don't want to receive it? And it's right there. Man's problem is that we do not want to heed the warning. You see, the beginning of this text, behold, the days come, emphasizes the grace of God. Now, this is in the Old Testament. So I want you to see that grace didn't just come in the New Testament. There was grace in the Old Testament because he used the prophets to warn the people of impending judgment. Amen? God never brings disaster upon a people without first giving them a warning. Those who die without Christ and go to hell for eternity can blame no one but themselves. Amen? They were warned far in advance of their death that there's a hell and there's a heaven to gain. Amen? But they did not heed the messages. Amen? That they were turning their hearts and their heads away from the message of salvation. Amen? But judgment is as certain as those words, behold, the days come. Sometimes we go to sleep because we don't want to think of an impending judgment. You might have to go to court for a ticket. You might have to go to family court. You might have to go to criminal court. And sometimes you just go to sleep because you don't want to think about the judgment that you're going to face. But let me tell you, saints, when we go to sleep for good, there's a judgment that we're going to face. And when we have that eternal sleep, you're not going to have opportunity to wake up to try to do this over again. Because the time is now. Amen? Time is in favor of God, but not evil men. But grace prevails as behold remind us. Because he says, behold, the days come. But he also says, behold, now is the day of salvation. So when he says, behold, it's to get your attention. Behold, wake up. Behold, I'm talking to you. Behold, pay attention. Behold, the days will come. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The behold, now is the day of salvation teaches us again that grace is still there with us because God allowed his son to die on the cross. God puts up with us. Did you hear that? God puts up with us. He puts up with our rebellion in order to save us. Have you ever had a rebellion against you, but you go through it because you're trying to save somebody? You're trying to save a situation? If you've done that, raise your hand. I need to see how many people have done that. You got a rebellious kid, but you deal with him. You deal with him because you're trying to save him. Amen? You got a rebellious situation at work, and you kind of go through it so you can teach the people. Amen? You go through it so you can lead them. Amen? God goes through and understands our rebellion so he can lead us to salvation. Our rebellion starts the day that we were born. You say, well, how does that happen? Because we are born into sin. Amen? The second is the matter and the announcement. So first, you got grace and mercy because he says, behold, the mercy is in the announcement. But also in the announcement is the matter. Amen? He says, famine. Bread and water speak of the mainstay of life. But he says, without them, certain death is going to come. But he says, in this case, famine of hearing the word of God. So the matter, you have the announcement, now you have the matter, the subject matter, that there's going to be famine in hearing the word of God. I'm going to let you know right now that there's going to be a day coming to church and hearing the word of God might not be as easy as it is right now. Now, some of you don't believe me, but there's countries right now where hearing the word of God is not an easy task. You don't just get up in the morning and walk into church. You don't just go in there and start singing praises and songs of Zion. You've got to go through something to get it. And I'm saying to you today that there's going to be a time that there's going to be a famine in this land. And hearing the word of God is not going to be easy. But if you hear the word of God, you can place it in your heart so you'll know what the word of God says. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's no more prayers in schools. Any statute that kind of correlates with the Bible or scripture, they want it removed. You don't see the Ten Commandments hanging anywhere any longer. Any statutes outside of around certain churches, those things are gone. As a matter of fact, if you have a statue out there, no matter what church you go to, it's going to be desecrated. It might be stolen. There's going to be a famine for the word of the Lord. Amen? So third in there is the motive. So now you have the motive of the announcement. Hearing the word of the Lord. God wants men to hear what he has to say. He warns them if they do not avail themselves of the opportunity offered to them, they will lose it. The same warning needs to be given out today to everybody that we know. Amen? For some, it's already too late. The Bible, like I said, has been removed from the schools. Our societies don't want it anywhere. And churches, ministers of the gospel, are no longer preaching the word. The pastor, and I'm going to tell you, I'm never going to be this pastor. So if you want me to be that, you might as well get rid of me now. The pastor, you want him to be a public relations man. The pastor, you want him to be a decorative piece at social events. You want him to go somewhere and you could just say, this is my pastor. You pay no tithes, but this is your pastor. This is my church. You don't come and praise the Lord, but this is my pastor. You don't come and give help the church pass the word of the gospel, but this is my pastor. I am not going to be that kind of pastor. Amen. They want the pastor to sit up there, and they want him to just marry people. I'm not going to be that pastor. They want pastors who just bury people. I'm not going to be that pastor. You're going to have to take the full Monty with me. I'm going to preach you the word of God, whether you like it or not. Because when I die, I'm going to be charged. He's going to say, what did you tell them? What did you preach to them? You know their souls are on your charge. More than anything, everybody today want me to be Dr. Phil, a psychologist. I'm not Dr. Phil. I'm not a psychologist. I can preach you the word of God. I can teach you the word of God, but I'm not going to analyze what's going on in your head. Oh, I go to that church because that pastor helps me to think a little bit. I'm not trying to get you to think about what's going on in your life. I'm trying to get you to think about salvation. I'm trying to think about that on the day that you die, you're going to have to meet your maker. And you got a chance to either accept or deny. The church today want to be a big entertainment center. We don't want to edify the word of the God. Amen. That's why on Hallelujah night, we edified the word of God, not just have some kind of false celebration. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to educate you about the word of God. Preaching a false word might fill up this church. I can't do it. We might just have that potential. We might just have that potential. But if it means preaching against the word of God and not the true 100% word of God, we're just going to have that potential. That's all. Spiritual famine has hit us hard, and it don't seem like a lot of people are upset about it. But this kind of judgment is the wrong thing. The Apostle Paul, after his first letter to the Corinthians, he had to write a second one because after the first letter, they had turned around. They were being swayed by false teachers. By the time he wrote the second letter, he was so happy that they had turned back to the gospel. Amen? And people looked at Paul, and they stirred people up against him. They called them all kind of names. They said, oh, Paul, he's a proud man. You say, Paul, he can't really speak that well. You know, he's dishonest. You know who he used to be. You know who he used to be. When people talk about you, do they talk about how you used to be? Or are you still the same as you were? There's no adversity in being the same as you were. There's only adversity when they can say, do you know who he used to be? Do you know how they used to be? Do you know what they used to do? Do you know what they used to say? Do you know what they used to steal? Paul, people said all kinds of things about him. But in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul should have been discouraged, right? Paul should have gave up in human nature. It's just too much to go up against all of this people talking about me, people fighting me, people wanting to kill me, people holding old grudges against me. These Jews are holding all these grudges against me. All of these people that are Christian that I used to persecute, they're holding this all against me. It's too big. But Paul didn't back down. Paul had to deal with a lot of discouragement. And I'm talking to you today because we need to preach the gospel. We need to teach the gospel. And you're going to have some discouragement. There's going to be some adversity. But Paul, he says this. He says he did not give in to discouragement because he knew two things: the character of his ministry and the mercy of God. Do you know the character of your ministry? I tell you, each and every one of us got a ministry. Even if you collect bottles and take the money and give it to the homeless, you got a ministry. Even if you see the same bum every day at the store and you give them $2, you got a ministry. If you give them a tract with it, you have presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost soul. Ministry is not just standing up, preaching and singing and teaching. Ministry is in everything that we do. I once told somebody, when you go to the supermarket, you can minister there because people are there. They're sold there. They looked at me like I was crazy. I had said something offensive to the person. They left the church. I wasn't putting nobody down. I was talking about ministry. So what is your perception of your ministry? Paul's perception was that I know that I am doing what God wants me to do. So no matter what man says, I'm going through with it. I have the confidence because I know who I am. I know my hand is in his hand. He knew his ministry, but he also knows the mercy of God, that God will not let anything turn around and tell somebody. God is not going to let anything. He's not going to let anything happen to you without his knowledge. The devil can't do nothing to you that God don't allow to happen. Don't blame the devil. He ain't got that kind of power. Don't blame him. You're giving him too much credit. Oh, the devil. No, he did not. Give credit where credit is due. Thank God. Because what you're going through right now, he has something ordained for you greater. So you got to go through it to get to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. He said it's because of God's mercy that you have a ministry. So your ministry is every day. You have life. And you have life because of God's mercy. So through your ministry of that day, through your ministry today, through your ministry tomorrow, it's through God's mercy. No matter what you go through, don't lose heart. The devil is in competition for your soul. And let me tell you about competition. When you got competition going on, the first thing that you want to do is take somebody out of their game. You want to take their heart. You want to make them feel less than and inferior to you. Then you can do what you want to do. The devil wants to intimidate you. He wants to take your heart. But Paul says in this ministry, we do not lose heart. He said we have renounced secret and sinful ways. That means that your life should be an open book. You got to renounce those shameful and sinful ways. Some of you don't want to. Because you got some shameful. Because you got some sinful ways. So you don't profess a ministry. You're just passing through. You come to church, you're just passing through. Oh, I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to just pass through. I don't want nobody to know my name. I don't want nobody to know where I live. I don't want nobody to have my phone number. Pastor, come and shake your hand. You like this. Paul said in our ministry, we do not use deception. Nor do we distort the word of God. So if you got somebody telling you something and they're distorting the word of God, you better watch it. He said, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, when we make it plain to every man, we please the sight of God. We don't please man. You please the sight of God. I love it when somebody says to me, you know, Pastor, I understood what you were saying. Because all I'm trying to do is make it plain. I'm not trying to complicate with no big words. Can I use big words? Oh, yes, I can. But I choose not to. Because Jesus didn't use big words. He came for the common man. He came for the fisherman. He came for the thieves. He came for the... You don't have to have no special education in order to preach the gospel. You don't have to have no special education to be saved. God didn't come for smart people. Let me tell you about a lot of smart people. They too smart for God because it just don't make sense to them. But my little brain is too little to compare to whatever he thinks and whatever he can do. So when the smart man looks at me, when I tell him that I got God in my life, that Jesus died on the cross, they can look at me cynically, and it's okay, because I accept them for who they are. Because I know that there's going to be a day that you're going to realize you wasn't as smart as you thought you were. Paul goes on and says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Amen? He says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Amen? So that they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves. I'm not preaching me. We do not preach ourselves. I'm not preaching me. I might preach what I've gone through, but I'm not preaching me. I talk about me because I know what I'm talking about. I can't talk about you because I don't know what you went through. And if I talked about you, you told me something I talk about you, you're going to be out of this church. You talking about me. You'll be waiting by my office door. Before service is over, you're standing up here. Do you have a minute, Pastor? So I talk about me because of my experiences. I talk about my wife because of our experiences. Amen? But I'm not talking about me. Paul says, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts and gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-passing power is from God and not from us. You ever see somebody say, come on up here, let me heal you? And they put their hands on you. Come on up here, let me heal you. That's not their power. That's not their power. Let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little secret. It is the power of Jesus Christ. And somebody who says, let me heal you, is not a God. And let me tell you something else. You don't have to go to a specific church. You don't have to listen to a certain minister. You don't have to have a specific oil. Because the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul says, we are pressed hard on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. We're not in despair. We get a little perplexed sometimes. We go through something sometimes and we wonder why. It's only human. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and soul. Amen. He's doing that for a reason. He wants to see how deep your love is for him. He wants to see how deep your faith is. It's okay when everything's going well, but when things get bad, how deep is your love? Persecuted, but never abandoned. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you and never destroy you. The devil cannot destroy you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody should be giving God a hand right now. I said the devil cannot destroy you. He might try, but he cannot destroy you. Paul later goes and said, we die every day in this earthly body, but inside our hearts are alive. You understand that you die every day in this body, but in your heart, you got to be alive. That way, when the enemy comes up against you, no matter what he does, you're alive. You're alive. Thank God I'm alive. Oh, you can have a car accident. You walk out of there. You might have a little hip hurt, a little head hurt, but you're alive because God has brought you through it. Sometimes you don't have no money, but you still got a place over your head, but you, because you alive. You know, these are things that you can't get back. You alive. I got some live people in here today. Are you alive today? Are you alive today? Somebody, are you alive today? If you alive, give God a praise this morning. If you alive today, that God has granted you another opportunity. Are you alive? Are you alive with Christ today? Do you know who he is? Is he your Lord and Savior? Oh, has he given you another opportunity? I'm alive. I might be dead outside, but inside I'm alive. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you alive? Are you alive? Can you feel the anointing right now? Can you feel the power of the Holy Ghost right now? Do you know that you're alive? Can you feel it in your hands? Can you feel it in your toes? Oh, you're alive. Woo. He goes on and he says, for it is written. He says, for it is written. And I believe it. Therefore, I speak it. How can you believe it if you don't speak it? You got all kind of false prophets walking up to you, speaking what they believe, no matter how wrong it is. But they believe it, so they speak it. So Paul says, we're crushed on every side, but I believe it, so I speak it. Persecuted, but I believe it, so I speak it. I'm never going to be destroyed by the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 He says, therefore, I'm skipping scriptures, but he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Day by day. So you die every day. But he says you're being renewed day by day. Day by day. You get sick. You get worried. You get frustrated. But my God renews you day by day. That's why he say, when you wake up in the morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Don't talk about yesterday. Talk about today. This is the day. This, right here, right now. I got a right here, a right now God. He don't worry about what happened yesterday. He don't worry about what I did yesterday. He said, this is the day. Behold, this is the day of salvation. And then he says, so we fix our eyes on what is not seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen what you see, out of your eyes, it's temporary. All the seeing is not believing. All the seeing is not believing. He said, oh, hallelujah, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, oh, hallelujah, what is unseen is eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is unseen is eternal. You think you got your future in your hands. You can see it right in front of you, don't you? Uh-uh. No. First of all, when you say that, you ain't put God in your plans. You talking about you and what you seen. And what you see is fleeting. It's temporary. But the unseen is eternal. Let us stand this morning.